All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation, the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. And I would like to read the first 7 verses on the church at Ephesus. All right, everybody with me? All right, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, that means to carry, have endured, they have stood, withstood, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now notice, they didn't lose their first love, they left their first love. Aren't you glad you can't lose it? Amen. Boy, we should be thankful for that. But you can leave it. You can walk away from what the Lord has given you, your salvation. You can leave your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the, what's the next word? Churches, not church. Not, this was not just written to the church at Ephesus. It was written to them, but not only to them. The message is still for us today. All right? So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto, we'll stop right there. I'm just going to preach on Ephesus tonight. All right, let's pray real quick. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at this church in Ephesus. And Father, I ask you to bless tonight. I pray you guide my thoughts. I know what I want to say, and I pray that you will help me to say it and to condense it, to get it clearly stated. And Father, may we apply the Word of God to our hearts tonight. I just thank you so much for this wonderful book, the Bible. And I pray that you will bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this is the first of the 7 churches. The Lord spoke 7 letters to 7 different churches. And they are all listed in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And the first one was the church at Ephesus. Now, what do we know about the church at Ephesus? Well, we know that that symbolically it is the church of the first century. You could say that it was the church that the apostles established. It was the first century church. And now you would understand that that the church in the early days, just after Pentecost, would have been a fundamental church. Would you agree to that? Amen. Certainly it would be. It would be a fundamental church, just as solid as it could be. If this church here that we just read about was in existence today, if this church was in existence today, it would be advertised in the newspaper so that everybody could see that they were having church and that they were having the gospel preached there, and that they had the right kind of music and they had the right kind of Bible. It would be advertised, and somewhere in there it would say, this is a fundamental Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Somewhere in there, that description would be found. If this church were in existence today, it would have an ad in the Sword of the Lord. When they list all the independent fundamental churches in America, this church would have had an ad in the Sword of the Lord. It would have a quarter page ad in the Yellow Pages, advertising itself to folks that move into the area. They could open up the Yellow Pages if they moved into town, if they're looking for a church. And they could have seen that the Ephesus church was an independent, fundamental, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing, missionary-minded, soul-winning church. They would have seen that. It would have been right there in display for everyone to see. It would be identified as a premillennial church, a fundamental church, an independent church. I mean, if you were in Ephesus on vacation and wanted to go to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I guarantee you this would be the church that you would choose to go to. That's Ephesus. That's Ephesus. Now, after some glowing words of commendation to this church, after some glowing words, the Lord Jesus, who was standing, according to verse 1, in the midst of the seven churches, brought an indictment against this church. Now, let me quickly say, folks, the Lord is greatly concerned about the condition of His church. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking today with all this foolishness that's going on in quote unquote the name of the Lord. But I know from what I can see here that the Lord is greatly concerned about the condition of His church. Remember, He said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is not My church. All right? This is the Lord's church. And the Lord just led me here to be the pastor of this church along with these other guys. All right, we are the pastors of this church, and you are the members of this church. And so the Lord, however, is concerned about the condition of His church. When you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, you can clearly see that the Lord is concerned about each and every one of these seven churches. He is a personal observer in the churches. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said one day, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. In verse 1, we are told that the Lord Jesus walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and those seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So we should realize from this that the Lord is concerned about Church of the Open Door. We ought to realize that the Lord is concerned with us today. So we must guard ourselves to make sure that the Lord is not disappointed by our efforts. I believe it will do something for our churches if we would just realize that every service we have a guest of honor here, and that guest of honor is Jesus Christ the righteous. I think that that would maybe help us to realize that church is very, very, very important. The Lord of the lampstand was observing what was going on in Ephesus, and he is observing what is going on at Church the Open Door as well. All right, now, there are just a couple of things I want you to see tonight. First, we find our Lord's commendation for this church. The Lord commends this church. The first thing we notice is this commendation. It's right at the beginning in verse 2. And the Lord says to them, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy labor. I know thy patience. I know how you cannot stand those that are evil, and that you have tried those. You've put them to the test to say that they are apostles, and they're not. But you have put them to the test, and you have found out that they are not, and you have stood against them. So right off the bat, we have this commendation that the Lord said about the church. So look at verse 2. He commended them for their activity in verse 2. If you look at verse 2, the second thing he did was he commended them for their patience. I remember years and years ago, in the very first church that I worked in, Glenn Matthews was pastor of that church. And I was in college, and I came home during the summer and worked for him in the church for 3 months as an intern. And I did that 2 years in a row, two years, my end of my junior year, and then the end of when I got booted out and came home. All right, I did it again, and I worked there at the church. And I remember Glenn getting me alone one day, and he said, now I want to teach you something, and he read me this verse. He read this verse to me where it talks about patience. And he said, now look, you have got to have patience with the people that you pastor. Don't you ever forget that. You've got to have patience. And I said, I wonder why that is. He said, because sheep are some of the most annoying creatures on the planet. And you've got to have patience when you deal with sheep. And that's where I heard the statement. He made it, but I never forgot it. He said, now listen, if you don't like the smell of sheep, then don't be a shepherd. Isn't that deep? If you don't like the smell of sheep, then you shouldn't be a shepherd. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this matter of having patience is a real issue. And we ought to have patience as we serve the Lord. I mean, not everybody is at the same spiritual level that you're at. You with me? Not everybody's as spiritual as you are. And so be patient with those that are growing and that are young in their Christian life. So here's what I did. I went, got home that day, and I sat down and I thought, all right, so Lord, I started to pray, Lord, give me patience. I've never done that since. Because you know where patience comes from? Trials. And man, all of a sudden, it was just like the heavens opened up and every curse and judgment fell right down smack upon me. And boy, if you want patience, whatever you do, don't pray for it. Because the Lord will show you very quickly where patience comes from. You see, I wanted patience, but I didn't want patience God's way. I didn't want it the way God gives it to you. And so I had to revamp my prayer very, very quickly. So he commended them for their activity. He commended them for their patience. You see, they needed to be patient because Ephesus was a wicked city. Oh, it was a terrible place. Terrible place. And this, they had so much wickedness going on in that place. And so Christ commended them for standing true when in this terrible and awful sin-filled city. And then, thirdly, he commended them for their separation. They stood against false teachers and false apostles. And you can be assured, folks, this church was not going to be tolerant of false doctrine. They just weren't going to put up with it. They were grounded. They were settled. They knew the difference between truth and falsehood. And when they saw falsehood, they stood against it. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather you hear the truth than anything else. I really, that's my great concern, that you hear the truth. Now, I would rather you hear the truth and get upset with me than to sit here and believe that everything religious is equal with everything else. Because it's not. All that glitters is not gold. My dear friend, Dr. James Ellis, he's in heaven now, but he was a good friend. And I had him up here to preach a couple of times. And the last time I had him was for a missions conference. And he preached. I'd heard him preach many, many times before that, dozens and dozens of times before that. He and I preached together many times through the years. But when he was here on Monday night, the Monday night that he preached, the last sermon on Monday night. And in that sermon, here's what he said. He said, if you are preaching the truth of God's word and folks get up and leave, don't worry about it. They got what they needed before they left. Isn't that good? I wrote that down when he said that. And I told him after church was over, I said, man, that was awesome. I said, where did you hear that? He said, I surprised myself. I surprised myself. I said, well, I wrote it down and I'm going to use it like it was my own. But I didn't. I gave him credit, didn't I? And then fourthly, he commended them for their stability. Look again at verse 3. You have borne. In other words, you have just stayed with it. You have patience and for my name's sake, you've labored and you have not fainted. So the Lord commended them for their stability. I mean, they just stuck with it and didn't give up, didn't quit. When things got difficult, when things got rough, they did not quit. They just stayed with it. But tragedy of tragedies, look at verse 4. The Lord gave an indictment against this wonderful church. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. Let me tell you something, Christian. We can serve the Lord. Listen to me now. This is important. We can serve the Lord without loving him, but we cannot love him without serving him. You see the difference? And right here is an indictment that can be uttered against a multitude of churches today. The problem with so many of our fundamental Bible-believing churches today is not liberalism, it's not modernism, it's not even ecumenism, it's not the fads of the day. That's the problem. No, the problem with fundamental churches and fundamental Bible-believing churches is that we just simply don't love the Lord Jesus the way we ought to. We don't love the Lord like we should. And that's what's wrong. We have left our first love. Now, what if the Lord gave us a report card? What do you think? What if the Lord gave us a report card? I wonder what kind of marks we would get. What kind of commendation would we receive? Oh, I think he would see all of our programs and all of our activities and the good, solid, Bible-based music that is played here. And I think the Lord would see Carroll Christian Schools, and he would see our separation and the stands that I've had to take through the years. And I think we would be commended for that. But I wonder, would he say, you have left your first love? Boy, I sure hope he wouldn't say that about us. Our Lord's indictment. What causes a church to lose its first love? Is it the lure of the world? Is it the love of money? Is it the pride of life? Is it some secret sins that we refuse to give up? Whatever may be the cause, we need to repent and fall back in love with the Lord Jesus, the one who saved us. You see, the cause for the indictment, if you go back to Ephesians, to the book that Paul wrote to this church, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, you will read where Paul gave thanks to the Lord for the faith that these people had in the Lord and for the love they had for the saints. You see, folks, during the Apostle Paul's day, the church at Ephesus was a thriving church. And they loved the Lord Jesus, and they loved lost people. Ephesus was a huge city, right on the shore, right on the tip, the end of what is today the country of Turkey. It was Asia Minor back in the first century, but it's Turkey today. And Ephesus was a booming city. I mean, booming. And so Paul told these people that he was proud of them for the love that they had. He gave thanks to the Lord for the faith they had and for the love that they had for the saints and for the sinners. In other words, it was a soul-winning church. They loved the Lord and they loved lost people. They were soul winners and they did all they could to please the Lord. But then at the end of the first century, when John received the revelation, they are still strong. The church is still strong. All right. But the Lord of the lampstand rebuked them for leaving their first love. Still a fundamental church. And so so the Lord Jesus said, you folks need to repent. You need to get your first love back. And just like it says in verse 5, there was a warning. Look at verse 5. He said, if you don't get those first works back, look at the middle of the verse. He said, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Well, can I tell you folks that today there is no independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church in Ephesus. It's gone. It's gone. It's not there. And if you were to go to Ephesus today and you were to stand on the street corner and start preaching the gospel, some radical Muslim extremist just might come up behind you and slit your throat with a dagger. Because they don't tolerate the gospel in Islam. And that whole area is covered with the darkness of Islam like a raging storm. So what's the cure for this indictment? Well, the cure is we need to fall back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me challenge you to do something. How about this week? Just sit down and read the Gospel of John. Read it all the way through. Then go back and read it all the way through. And then go back and read it all the way through. And if you can't appreciate, after reading the Gospel of John, what Jesus has done for you, if it doesn't make you love him more, I don't know anything that will. We need to love the Lord Jesus. Then there's one final thing. I want you to look at the Lord's requirements for the church. There are two. First, remember. Look at verse 5. Remember. Remember when you were on fire for the Lord? Remember when you were reading your Bible? Remember when you were happy in the Lord? Remember when you were growing and praying? Remember when you weren't bitter? You remember that? Remember when you used to come out on Thursday night and go soul winning with us? Do you remember that? Remember what you were and where you were headed when God, in his mercy and grace, reached down in the pit and lifted you out and set you up on a solid rock. Remember. Just remember. That's the cure. Remember. And then once you remember, secondly, then you can repent. Once you remember, then you can repent. You see, folks, when we would rather sit at home than come to church, we've lost our first love. We've left it. When we could go days, even weeks, without reading our Bibles, then we've left our first love. When we never feel the Holy Spirit of God's conviction upon our hearts, then we've left our first love. And more than we need anything, we need the commendation of the Lord Jesus. More than we need anything in this world, we need to repent of the sin of leaving our first love. More than we need anything, we need that love rekindled. So how does a church stay on fire for God? How do we keep that spiritual temperature soaring? How do we keep the energy and keep the spirit up to make sure that we're not collecting dust on the altar? Well, we stay in love with Jesus. That's how we do it. We stay in love with Jesus. Now the question is, does the Lord Jesus have somewhat against you? Does the Lord Jesus have somewhat against you? Are you one of those used to be Christians? Oh yeah, I used to. But you're not now? What happened? Well, I used to. I used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, what happened to you? Well, I used to sing in the choir, but I quit. Why? Well, I used to teach Sunday school, but I gave up my class. Why? Why did you do that? Well, I used to work in the bus ministry. I used to help in the bus church. Used to. Let's don't be used to. Let's be I am. And let's do what the Lord would have us do. The Lord of the lampstand is here tonight, and he's looking over things, folks. Where do we stand with the Lord?